Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm New York One's political reporter Juan Manuel Benitez, filling in for Brian this morning. And Manhattan is one of the most famous islands in the world. But did you know that there are almost 30 other islands just around the city's edge? Some are famous, like Liberty Island, home of the Statue of Liberty. Some are infamous, like North Brother Island, which once served as a quarantine for those too poor to get help. And some are so tiny that you can barely find them. The latest cover story of New York Magazine explored all of New York City's islands, the history, and their future. The author is journalist Robert Sullivan. He's written many books, most recently, My American Revolution, A Modern Expedition Through History's Forgotten Battlegrounds. And we also have with him the new editor-in-chief of New York Magazine, David Haskell. Congratulations on the job and beautiful issue.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here, both of you guys. David, let me start with you. You're not new to New York Magazine, right? But did you just become editor-in-chief? And this one is this is your first issue, right, in your new role. And how do you come up with this? This is a beautiful issue, I have to say.
Thank you very much. I've been at New York Magazine for a long time. I think actually this week exactly is my 13th anniversary, 13th mm-hmm. year. But I started in the new role April 1st. So this isn't my first issue, but it still feels very new. And it's one of the first kind of big sort of weird or off-kilter projects that I've launched since being the editor-in-chief. So I feel
because I'm so interested in knowing how was this pitched?
Yeah, I don't think it would have worked if it were pitched. It was something that I kind of just forced through. Right. I've just been obsessed with the islandness of New York City for such a long time. I was thinking, as we were closing it, thinking back to when my father would take me on the Roosevelt Island tram mm-hmm. As a kid, just as something to do on a Saturday afternoon. And this was, you know, before 1989 when they'd opened the subway. So the tram was really the only way to get there. And I just thought that was so bizarre and magical mm-hmm. and exciting. And ever since, I've always just noticed the islands around, been curious of them, and wanted to do some sort of project, and actually sort of imagined that it might take some other form. And then a couple months into this job, I realized, oh, wait, I could use this magazine to mm-hmm. to kind of explore that idea. And then the other thing that was really behind it all was Bob Sullivan.
And Bob, let me ask you, because like I was saying earlier, this is my 20th anniversary in the city. I didn't know we had so many islands
really,
in New York City. How many of them?
I've always been amazed. I went to it once at BAM or somewhere years ago. There was a night and they had sea shanties. And some of the singers like Lou Reed and all these amazing musicians got up and said, did you know New York's a harbor town? There's sea songs here. And everybody's mm-hmm. like, oh, really? And everyone turned to each other, really? We're in an island city? So I'm not surprised, and I'm surprised, but it's a port. About pitching this idea, I've tried to pitch this idea for 25 or 30 years probably.
Seriously?
As long as my son's been alive, I'm pretty sure. I've always thought this was an amazing, like somebody should do islands in New York. But in a magazine, books are great. I love books, but that's what's great about New York Magazine. It's a magazine. It comes out and you get it and it's new for a while and it's mm-hmm. a magazine. And anyway, and so 25, 30 years, I gave up pitching this story like 5-6 years ago maybe. And then, David becomes editor and I get a call, Islands in New York. Yes, I'm so excited. Except that, 25 years ago, I would have written a completely different version of the Islands of New York.
Why?
Because the more you know about the place you're in, the more reverberations there are, the more, it's not just like, I know there's more history, mm-hmm. but you've felt the place, you've been in the place. But surely that's an amazing thing also just about this subject for this magazine, New York Magazine. How does New York speak to the rest of the world, if it does, or how does it not listen to the rest mm-hmm. of the world? But each island would seem to be talking about things that are that involve the whole world, and in good ways and in a lot of bad ways. So about people coming in but quarantining people, or letting people go here but not there. It's all about lines.
Yeah, one thing that we were exploring a lot, and I think you sort of built out in your writing, is that these islands can really quickly shift over time from being the receptacles of our waste and garbage and things mm-hmm. we want to ignore, you know, ill people, foreign people, prisoners, and then they can suddenly be the object of our fascination and become playgrounds. And, you know, Governor's Island was, if you had written this 20 years ago, you would have written an entirely different thing about Governor's Island. That these islands have the capacity, really, to absorb different generations of humans having different reactions to it and using it as a completely new, receptacle for something, either ambition or shame.
What's your favorite island beyond the well-known islands like Manhattan or Roosevelt Island or Staten Island? What's your favorite one that people don't know about that much?
I like going back to each of the famous islands and rethinking them. For instance, the whole idea that they're only growing native plants on the top of the new museum at Liberty Island, that to me is, I don't like the word ironic ever since that song came out in the 90s by, I can't remember by who, but I like finding favorite new things about the old islands, but certainly the islands in the Bronx are really, really beautiful, in that they're these little tiny, teeny islands, and they look like the end of the world, or you know, you can see the seas rising really there. And then there is one island that you can't really see, that I would call it my favorite island, except I don't want to talk too much about it.
What do you mean? You're not going to tell us about it?
Well, you could either, I hate when people
It's pretty
say,
hidden. I think you can say, explain.
I'll just say that there's an island that's in the harbor that has no name, that you can only see it at super moon tides. And I'll just say that this is one of the things about the islands that, they're receptacles for good things and bad things. But overall, on the whole, I would say they're about the colonial project and about how, like, trying to erase things. So there's something about not naming something that is really mm-hmm. important to me. So, yeah.
Listeners, we're talking to Bob Sullivan and also David Haskell from New York Magazine. We're talking about New York City islands. And you can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And we have Robert in Marine Park. You have a story about New York City islands, Robert.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. Channel 13 did a story about this a few years ago. It was very interesting. And I was very happy to see they included in the report these two obscure islands, which are in lower New York Bay, but they have a history, Hoffman Island and Swinburne. I understand Swinburne Island. You can see it from Brooklyn. There was like some kind of ruins there. I think that was used to quarantine. But could you flesh it out and tell us about those two little islands?
I think that the book that the PBS series was based on, which is a great book, which I think is called The Other Islands of New York, and I have, I think, all three editions, of course. I think the first one came out a good 5 years after I started pitching the story to people not like David. But those two islands, I think that book mentions ghoulish orgies. I think the term ghoulish orgies comes up in reference to Swinburne or Hoffman, I can't remember which. But those are the quarantine islands. And I guess when I researched those islands, again, I was interested to see that boats, it was called the place that saved America from the disease of foreign contagion. Isn't it amazing? You just had the segment you had on about how people come to our place and make our place better. But here were these strongholds where we would stop foreigners. Unless you're wealthy, then you didn't have to stay in quarantine on the island. You got to go right to a hotel downtown. So that history of quarantining is much more intense than I would imagine, but I'm not surprised.
Thank you, Robert, for that question. And Bob, we have names like Rat, mm-hmm. Tree, mm-hmm. Danny Hat, mm-hmm. Pea. Who gets to name an island?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Who does get to name an island? And I want to start a campaign. If you want to start a campaign, David, you should probably do it now. But I want to start a campaign to not name bridges for people. I'm really upset with the governor. You know, I'm sorry that he named the bridge for his father at like 1 a.m, the Tappan Zee, when even though that's a Dutch name, and Governor's Island has always been, it was a Dutch fort, then an English fort. Mm-hmm. It's a seat of power. And what kind of power do we do there now, whether we put it in an art center or what? or a hotel. But even though it was named Tappan Zee Bridge, it nonetheless described the place. It described the landscape. So Tappan Zee means the Sea of Tappan. So I'm against naming any more islands. We're done. We should unname them.
Unname them, and then yeah. How are we going to identify
them? Except for Rat Island. We should keep the name Rat Island because it's a great name.
So some of the islands in the area were formed geologically. Others have been man-made. Can you talk about some of the reasons New York officials have manufactured islands, and how do you do it, and what are they used for?
Well, some of the islands. Well, I should say the first pieces I ever worked on with David. David was one of the people who allowed me to kind of write about this idea that there's no such thing as nature or not nature. So we talk about things as geologically created, which makes mm-hmm. perfect sense. Yeah, the schist stone, S-C-H-I-S-T, listeners, don't worry. Mm-hmm. The schist that comes out of the Bronx makes some islands. It juts out and makes islands, just like Manhattan is schist and has inward marble, and it's geologically, as you say, formed. But there's also this idea that subway workers who poured the rubble that made Youthant Island or Belmont Island next to the UN, or that made
that's expanded, the island that's on the cover of the magazine.
That's the cover island, mm-hmm. the cover island, that I just said that. The There's also the idea that humans are part of the natural landscape, so that you're making an island. The rubble is not an island, even though it's man-made, to the cormorants that want to live there or to the developers who want to start glamping on the island. Yes, I said glamping.
Can I just recommend anyone who's listening to this and enjoying Bob talk, just Google Concrete Jungle NY Mag, because Bob wrote this piece for us about, I don't know, 10 years ago. And of all the, I've edited hundreds and hundreds of pieces now, and it's really one of the top five that changed my life. It just not just as a magazine editing career, but I saw the world differently. It was just so exciting to, first of all, think about wildlife and nature as something that is complicated and tricky and not defined in opposition to humans. That's an amazing idea to really explore. And then secondly, Bob was just pointing out that New York City is actually extraordinary naturally. You know, it was a natural metropolis before it was a human one, that there's something very specific about the geography of this place and how it supports a regional ecosystem, a global ecosystem, the fish that spawn here, the birds that stop here, the marshlands. It's really extraordinary if you stop to look, and I just love that piece, and it's worth a read.
Let's take one of our calls. Robin is on Long Island City in Queens. Robin, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention, if you've ever been to Orchard Beach and you walk north of along the beach, there's a
I think we are having some issues with Robin's phone call.
But she can say, I think, yeah. Something she could have said, who knows what she would
go
have
ahead.
Said, is that you can see from the beach those islands that you went mm-hmm. through some of the names of, Danny Hat. I don't know if you can see, I think you can, I think you see down might block Rat Island there, mm-hmm. but Danny Hat, Two Chimneys, you can see off towards No Nations at low tide, and mm-hmm. of course Columbia Island. But yes, see islands from there.
And David, this piece is... it comes with videos and amazing photos.
Yeah, let's talk for a second about the photography. Because
you also took there's drone video,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what is it? It's I'm sure Bob had to visit all the islands to write the story, but what is...
Yeah, from the beginning,
what else is there?
We imagine this as equally a photography project and a written project. And I was talking with Jody Kwan, our photography director, about how to tackle this problem. You know, how to convey the islandness of these places in images, and also how to make a variety of pictures so that if we're going to give it the magazine real estate of 20-something pages, you're not bored, that you actually see mm-hmm. things differently. And so she suggested the photographer, Jeff Chensing Lau, and he tackled that problem. Jeff is a master of a kind of epic sort of... broad, technically very difficult picture, and you know, was up for getting on the rowboats and negotiating with Hasselblad to use their drones and all of that stuff, but also doing a lot of plotting with Jody and her team about where to set the camera to make a photograph that surprises you, that actually shows you the island in a different way. The picture of Liberty Island that we that we published does not have the Statue of Liberty. Why would you do that? You've seen that so many times. It's of the people. And, you know, the Rikers Island picture for all of us was so interesting. Its proximity to LaGuardia was challenging. It meant that we couldn't use a drone, for instance. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's difficult to get onto Rikers in all sorts of ways. But that proximity was also the subject of the photograph. We were really interested in this, you know, personification of movement, freedom, flight, right next door to an island that is really all about confinement, terrible conditions. And so the pictures is about the airplanes as much as it is about the island.
You were talking about Rikers Island. For those who don't know, Rikers Island is where there's a prison complex, a jail complex here in the city. And a jail complex that might shut down in 10 years. That's the intention of New York City politicians. Bob, if they end up closing Rikers, what do you think they should have on that island?
Well, I thought that was the most, you say, what's your favorite island? Well, my favorite call was calling up the people, speaking to some of the people who were organizing to close Rikers, who are getting it closed, and just asking what happens next. And, you know, the nice guy I talked to, Brendan, he was saying that, you know, the hope is that this island makes health. It's killed neighborhoods. It's hurt neighborhoods. It's stripped neighborhoods of people. It's incarcerated whole neighborhoods. It's destroyed places. How can this neighborhood build health again? Whether it be through by being a solar power plant, but how can it make the harbor healthy? Which gets to the larger point is like if you quarantine anything, it's bad for all of us.
We have to leave it there. We've been talking to journalist Robert Sullivan. His latest piece for New York Magazine is Our Lesser Islands, Unearthing New York's Hidden Histories, From Buried Bodies to Bird Sanctuaries. And also we spoke to David Haskell, the new editor-in-chief of New York Magazine. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us and happy New York City birthday.
Thank you so much. And that's all for the Brand Layer Show today. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez. I'll be back on Monday. Thank you so much for listening.